Good to see each one that come tonight.
And we look to the Lord that maybe others will make it as well.
Going to speak on a very simple word every child should understand, and it is the word come. Probably the first word we learn, but we don't learn to say it, but we learn because we know that this is what mom and dad, whoever, come. So let us take a look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke 14 and verse 16. Now it is the Lord Jesus that is speaking here. And he says, "Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry or upset, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." I think of that that verse there, go out and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And really, those are the ones that respond even yet today. It's been our experience as we were in Tri-Cities with a new work there, and even out seed sowing, that if you're going to get response back, the reply card, it is always from, usually as you go to visit them, it's from the middle class down to the very poor that will respond. So we mustn't overlook those that are the poor and the maimed, the lame, the blind, that we would invite them in. So our little message tonight is on the little word come. C-O-M-E means come. And the invitation went out. And the invitations went across, and probably no doubt as they went, the invitations went out that they would stop and speak to those, one here and one there along the way as they were giving out the invitation. And salvation, again, we want to remind you, salvation is personal between you and God. These invitations, we're not sure exactly how they went, but this great supper that this man put on, I liken it to a feast, a gospel supper, a great feast that the Lord has put on, the gospel of His grace. And He invites people in, and He sends out to each one a personal invitation. The Lord had showed us while He was here on earth how personal it was. One day as He was going through this town, He stopped all of a sudden. And He looked up and there was a man up in the tree. And the Lord didn't say to him, Hey, you, come down. No. Now the Lord had never seen this man before. And this man had heard about the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to see Him. And he wasn't invited to come and see the Lord Jesus, but he came. And he came, and he couldn't see Him because he was just a little man, and he climbed up this tree. And when the Lord stopped, the Lord knew exactly who he was and where he was and all about him. And the Lord stopped, and he looked up, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That's how personal salvation is. The world, I don't know how many people live in this world, but God knows each one. And God knows everybody's name. And you and I are as important to God as what Zacchaeus was. I don't know how Zacchaeus felt that day as he was there up that tree. And this man, Jesus, stopped, looked up. Zacchaeus, come down. Not only come down, but make haste and come down. And so we are reminded also that salvation, you make haste. You don't put it off till tomorrow. We are not guaranteed about tomorrow. We are only guaranteed for tonight. Come down, why? For I must abide at thy house. And what the Lord Jesus really meant was this. I want to come into your life. I want to be part of your life, Zacchaeus. And you know, we read that Zacchaeus made haste. And he came down and received the Lord Jesus that day. Salvation is urgent, and God is calling you tonight. And he's calling you by name, as he would knock on your heart's door. So we have, his servants went out and said, come, for all things are now ready. Everything is set, everything is ready. And salvation is a great feast. God is a host, and he wants his house to be filled. He doesn't want an empty seat. He invested all that he had in reality. He invested his son, Jesus Christ, into you and I, that you and I might be saved by the grace of God, that you and I might come and be with him forever. So come. Who is to come? Those who are invited. And by the way, there's none left out. Everyone is invited. There are those here tonight that got their invitation, and they knew they got it, and they responded to it. Some take a little longer than others to respond. But by the grace of God, those of us that are saved, we came. So who is to come? You, because you've been invited. It's not like a wedding. It's not a family invitation. You get sometimes the invitation will come in the mail, Mr. and Mrs., and you open it up. You are invited such a day and such a time to this big wedding, and your family. And quite often they'll have the names of the children to come. And there's other times that the invitation will come, Mr. and Mrs., and they'll give you all the information, and then they say, but no children. Children can't come. Well, that's not true with God's invitation. Not only, it doesn't go to the family, because we are saved individually. And God's invitation goes to each one individually. God makes no mistakes. When our oldest son got married, Scott, there in Marysville, the invitations went out. And I didn't hear from my sister for quite a long time. My one sister, she's divorced, and I knew she wasn't doing very well financially, and was kind of waiting to hear, wondering if she's coming, and didn't hear anything from her, so I called her. And I said, talk for a little bit, and I thought, well, maybe I better find out if she needs a ticket to fly out. So finally we got talking about it, and I said, well, Faye, you know, Scott's wedding is coming up, and are you going to be able to come? She said, well, I think I could come, but I haven't been invited. And her invitation either got lost or they just missed it. But nobody's invitation to God's great feast, the gospel feast, will ever get lost. And no name will ever be missed. And then it's also not like the mail. There's sometimes when we go out and get our mail and somebody else's mail is in our box. Now, we write a little note on it, not here, not this address. But you know, there's some people, when they get that, they just take that and throw it in the garbage. And maybe you might get another one, and maybe that person may not. But that's not so with God's invitation to you and I. And the other thing I heard here not too long ago in the news, that will never happen with God's invitation. The mailman dumped all the mail in the garbage. Went home early. Yeah. But there was somebody that saw him and caught him. But your invitation to God's great feast, the gospel feast, nobody can dump it in the garbage because it's delivered to you by the Spirit of God. It's delivered to you by His Word, and it's delivered to you by those of us that will speak. Come. When do we come? We know who is to come. You have got the invitation. But who is, or when to come? At the appointed time. Did you notice the time on that invitation to come? Did you notice what it said? Here's the invitation. Come, for all things are now ready. And so God is saying, come, and come now. This is your opportunity. This is the time to come. Come now. Today, we don't know about tomorrow. Come. Why come? Because you're invited. You know, there's people that are invited and they get the invitation and just throw it to one side. They don't go to a wedding or they don't go to an anniversary. They just don't do those type of things. But you are invited. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, all you that are troubled about your sin, and I will give you rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Come. Come unto me. This invitation, not from your Prime Minister Trudeau, but rather from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. From the Savior Himself, your Creator. And He's inviting you to come tonight. The effort that's gone into this gospel feast. Jesus Christ came from heaven, born in Bethlehem's manger, and went outside the city walls of Jerusalem, bearing His own cross. And there on a hill, they nailed Him to a cross. And there, He paid the price for your sin and mine. And tonight, He invites you to come. The call goes out, come. You know, at a wedding invitation, the other thing that's usually in there is this. Please reply. Because if you're paying $40 a plate or $50 a plate, you don't want to have any more plates than you need. So you want to know who's coming. So you know exactly how many plates of meal to have on the tables. And God wants you to reply as well. You need to reply. You need to let God know that you're coming. He is waiting for your response. He is wanting you to come. He has given His Son for you that you might be saved by the grace of God. Come. But then we read that there was those that they got the invitations. Yeah, they knew that they were invited. They knew all about the feast. But they made excuses. An excuse, you know, is sometimes it's a half of a lie and sometimes it's a half truth. Well, let's look at these ones and see how they work. The first one, all three of them lie in three categories. There's our property. We should never be so attached to our property that we can't come. There's our activities and our families. So the first excuse was, I have bought some land and I must go see it. Have me excuse. So the truth was,
that this individual bought some land. The half of a truth or no truth, I must go see it. He could have waited. He could have waited till after the feast. Could have waited. But you know, sometimes we let other things get in our way of coming to Christ. I bought land. Now, if I read this right, I must go see it. So I would take that he never looked at the land before he bought it. That's not very wise, is it? No. I bought some land. Even if he did buy it without seeing it, it could have waited. He could have went to the feast and then went and looked at his land. I wonder how many are missing out in God's salvation because of a crazy excuse. And then the other one says, I bought an oxen, but today I bought a John Deere tractor. Or perhaps I bought a car. Or for somebody that's younger, I bought a bicycle. I bought a skateboard. Or I bought an RV camper and I want to go try it out. Yeah. But you know, whether it's a tractor, a camper, a bicycle, they can all wait. And yet sometimes we feel that we have to do these things and then I'll think about my salvation. But you know, these things are written that we might learn from it, that we do not put things off, that we do not let other things get into our life and come into our life and come between us and God and God's great salvation. Then there is the last one. And the last one, I believe, is 100% truth all the way through. I have married a wife. Or I have married a husband. How many have we heard believers marrying unsaved? And they just can't do. Before the marriage, the unsaved person seems like he's going right along with everything. And then after the marriage, the truth comes out. I have married a wife, and probably the truest of all the categories. And therefore, I cannot come. I'll just give you a story. Gaius Goff, I've heard him tell it, from Newfoundland. They're having meetings there in Newfoundland, and people were getting saved. And one night, this gal stayed behind from Christian home, probably 17 or 18, and she stayed behind. She came up, and Mr. Goff, and I don't know who was with him, was talking to her about her salvation, and she wanted to be saved. But she had a boyfriend who was not saved. A boyfriend who didn't care for the gospel. And Mr. Goff said as they talked to her, she was broken down and she knew she needed to be saved and she wanted to be saved. And as they were talking to her, she made a drastic mistake. Her boyfriend was standing at the back in the doorway, watching the whole thing going on as she was up at the front with the brethren. And Mr. Goff said he watched her, and she looked up and she looked back at him, and Mr. Goff looked back at him. And he was standing back there just like a soul. Mr. Goff said she could read his language, his body language. And she knew that if she got saved, that would be the end. He would be gone. And Mr. Goff said she got up and she walked back to him and they went out. And I don't know to this day if that girl ever got saved. Yeah. Very careful what you let come into your life between you and God's salvation. Why come? Come? Why come? Because all things are now ready. The work of salvation is completed. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those which are lost. Why come? Here is a very serious verse. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. What a serious verse. Hell from beneath
is moved to meet thee at thy coming. Why come? Because all things are now ready. Why come? Because the Lord is coming. And if the Lord comes, you'll be left behind. And there's nothing stopping the Lord from coming. There's no prophecy left to be fulfilled. And he says, behold, I come quickly. Why come? Because there is yet room. Tomorrow might be too late. God knows about tomorrow. And God knows about your tomorrow. But you and I don't. And God says, come now. Why come? We were singing tonight. God's house is filling fast. Some soul will be the last. My last question is, why not come? What is holding you back? Sometimes people are afraid to tell you what's holding them back. And yet you know there's something in their life that is keeping them from coming. You can tell to look at them that they want to be saved. And they know they need to be saved. And yet there is something in their life or someone in their life that is holding them back. We read in Revelation 22 and 17, the last invitation. The last invitation is this, and the Spirit and the bride is Christians. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Surely, I come quickly. So you have a choice to make. You can choose either to feast with Christ and those that are saved in heaven, or you can choose to suffer with the lost, the unsaved, those that are in hell. You must choose. And we trust that you will make the right choice tonight. Come, for all things are now ready.